Welcome to Unlocking the Truth, a podcast by Precept Ministries Canada. Come discover God's truth for yourself by studying His Word and deepen a personal, transformational relationship with God. You are listening to the series Contend for the Faith, the Book of Jude.
Hello, everyone. It's Mark Sheldrake here. Welcome back to another episode of Unlocking the Truth podcast. This is a ministry of Precept Ministries in Canada, and we are so thankful for the opportunity we have to bring out this podcast through our ministry on a regular basis. And I have to tell you, I did not expect so many people to be checking this out on YouTube. I thought, wow, maybe a few people will, but thank you for the encouragement and the comments that are coming through the YouTube channel as well as our social media platforms. Keep them coming. Not to build me up, but it's an encouragement for the ministry to know that you are listening and partaking in the bi-weekly episodes. So here we are. We're at week five of the episode of on Jude, Contending for the Faith. But what we want to do before that is just give you a couple of announcements of what's happening in the ministry and how you can get involved. Of course, always, we'd like to promote our workshops and our training. Our Problem with Evil conferences that are coming up. We've got a couple coming up in March and April. You can check out our website, preceptministries.ca. We're now on a brand new website as well. Praise the Lord for that. Check out our website for all of these details. As well, if you are being impacted by Precept Ministries in Canada, go on over to our website, click the Give Today button, and you can support Precept and the ministry that's happening across Canada. This year, 2024, what are we praying for? We're praying for 2,500 people who have not participated in giving with us before to give $100 in the year 2024. If 2,500 people do that, that's $250,000 to go into the ministry to further engage Canadians in the Word of God. We offer all of our training, all of our ministry, except for the resources that we have to ship out. We send those things out to you, but all of our training and the things that we do come at no cost to all the participants. So you can sponsor somebody else through that $100 to take leadership training or any of our intro workshops or things like that that we are going to be taking across the country throughout the year. So if you want more information about that, go to the website, click Give Today, and you can find out all the details. Let me pray. Let's dive in to Jude and those final verses in episode 5. Lord, we do thank you for this time that we've had in this tremendous letter. Lord, as we come to the end of this, there's not less impact in what's going to be said in these verses today, but there's a great amount of application that we need to stop and we need to look at. So, Lord, I pray that as we look at these final verses in the letter Jude wrote, that you would allow these truths to sink into our hearts. This application that we have for today, that we would not just take it as information, but information for transformation. That we would have an urgency to see what Jude is calling the believers at the time of this writing to, and help us understand that these are the same things that we need to be accomplishing now as children of God. We commit our time now to you. All that we say and do for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, folks, let me give you some review because it's been a while. It's probably been 2 months since we started this podcast. And here we are. We've got Jude. 25 verses in the scriptures, very powerful verses, and we know that the believers, that Jude was his intention when he was writing this letter, a letter of encouragement, hey, a time to build you up over the common salvation, but he understood that there was something going on within the area that this letter was written to, that he had to appeal to the believers to contend, to fight for the faith. And so when he calls them to fight for the faith, why? Because there's false teachers, there's mockers. Remember Peter, he said that they were coming Jude says now they're here. They're in your love feasts. They're right in your church. And so they're right among you, and so you need to fight for the faith. We went back and we applied to the fact that, yeah, that's exactly where we are today, and we need to be applying that to ourselves. We need to be fighting for the faith because we got false teachers in our midst as well. Then he went on to talk about the people that crept in unnoticed, and then he gave three examples, and we looked at those three examples from history on God's judgment in dealing with sin. We looked at Israel. We looked at the angels, Sodom and Gomorrah, all these examples of God properly dealing with sin. And he said that these people that were creeping in, notice in verse 4, that they were marked out for condemnation, that they were set apart for judgment. Why? Because of sin. All right, so then we looked at, in episode 3, we looked at the characteristics. Episode 4, we looked at the characteristics of the ungodly, how they have false visions. These were the things that we wanted to pay attention to, that maybe they're happening today. False visions. They defile the flesh. They reject authority. They have no respect. And quite simply, they're fools. They have no wisdom. And so we compared that again to what we're seeing today. We looked at the fact that we've got false teachers. We got people pursuing their own truths. And we've got people that are just straight up looking foolish. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. And so what we want to do is we want to keep our eye on that. And then it comes down to this week's episode. And in this week's episode, what we want to do is we want to know that in light of contending for the faith, in light of the fact that this is where we are in 2024, the culture that we're in, the climate that we're in, all that's happening around us, how do we contend for the faith? How do we do this practically? And so I hope and pray that you have been studying along with us, whether it be through the New Inductive Study Series or the Precept Upon Precept Series, whatever book that you may be going through. Maybe you've just been reading through the verses yourself. You've been observing, interpreting, and applying directly from Scripture. Praise the Lord for doing this, because you are benefiting greatly from taking the time to study the Word of God for yourself. And so what we're going to do is we're going to break this down. We're going to look at all of the things that you and I, we need to be doing in 2024 to fight for the faith. All right, the first thing that we need to do is we're actually down, as we've come through the podcast, we've worked our way down to verse 20. And so verse 20 is really not the beginning of those commands of what we're supposed to do. We got to go back to verse 17. So back in verse 17, this is where the commands start. All right, so let's look at these commands, and we'll look at them one by one, and then we'll draw out of the practical that we need to do from the commands that Jude has given. All right, verse 17 says, but you, beloved, okay, so the contrast, this but is a contrast to verse 16, really verse 14 to 16, and really, honestly, folks, back to last episode, which was the ungodly, all right, in contrast to the ungodly, you Christian people, you need to be remembering the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so this is one of the things that we need to be doing. All right, we need to remember what we were taught. In any battle for truth, in any fighting for the faith, you got to remember what the scriptures say. You got to remember what you were taught in the Word of God. You've got to go back to the basics of salvation. You've got to go back to the book of Romans. If you're just joining into this podcast right now and you've not heard it before, go to our website. Go back in time into Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, wherever this podcast is being presented. and go back and listen to the series, 16 episodes on the Book of Romans. These are the basic truths. This is what we need to remember. We need to know the tenets of the faith. We've got to have good doctrine. All right, and so we've got to remember. Remember Peter, we've mentioned this previously, that Peter and Jude, they have a lot of similarities between the two of them. All right, so Peter, he too talks about the principle of remembering. All right, and so 2 Peter, actually remember is a key word within that letter. So listen to what he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. Peter's desire was that he would always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them, and you have been established in the truth which is present within you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir up by the way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. What does Peter want? Remind and remember what? The truths that were taught to you. Why do we need to do this? All right, so let me give you one more example before we look at that why. How about 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 4? Listen to what he says here. This now, beloved, my second letter I'm writing to you, in which I'm stirring up your sincere mind by the way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of our Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it is from the beginning of creation. Why does Peter want them to remember? Why does he want us to remember the teachings of Jesus? Because he says, in the last days, mockers are going to come. Mockers are going to come, and they, what are they going to do? They are going to question the word of God. Just like we've talked about in this podcast, what happened in the very beginning in Genesis? Did God really say that? What are mockers and false teachers going to do? Is that really what God said in the word of God? What's happening in 2024? Did God really say that? So we need to remember the words that are spoken. All right. And so this is vital for us to know. And the principle, remember that Peter says they're coming. Jude says that those mockers and false teachers already are here. The apostles, when we go back and we go through the New Testament, the apostles, they warn about these groups of people multiple times. And so let me draw you to a number of verses that teach us and warn us about the very fact that these false teachers are going to come. First one is Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 31. He says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to the shepherd, to the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. All right, so listen to what he said there. He said that after he goes, savage wolves will come among, not sparing the flock. They will speak perverse things. They will draw away the disciples after them. These are warnings that these people, these false teachers, are going to come. Here's another one in the book of the letter of 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, listen to what Paul said to Timothy. Realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, unreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. I mean, you could take all those characteristics from 2 Timothy chapter 3, and, you know, we need to do a podcast on 1 and 2 Timothy, so make note. Let's put that in the list of ones we want to do. But what we see here is that these things, you go on Twitter, these things are all happening on Twitter. These people live on Twitter. These people live in 2024. Lovers of self, lovers of money, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, brutal, haters of good, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. All of these characteristics warned about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, now being played out not only in the times of the authors of Scripture, but also in 2024. All right, let's look at one more, and we're going to go to 2 John, and in 2 John verses 7 to 11, listen to what John writes here regarding these lovers of self. Many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Listen to what verse 8 says. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive the full award. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. And the one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. And if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. Do not give him greeting. For the one who gives him greeting, a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Okay, do you hear what's happening here? All of these verses are warning us about these false teachers, these mockers, these people that are to come, and these people that are now in 2024. And they are now in the times of Jude that have crept in unnoticed, that are among them in their love feasts, and they are causing dissension and breaking apart the church and causing people to be deceived. Isn't it amazing how Scripture, written thousands of years ago, still applies to us today? It's as relevant then as it is now. We're living just like in the times of Jude. All right, so that's one of the first things we need to do, is we need to remember the words spoken beforehand. A part of remembering those words are remembering the truths about salvation, but also remembering the warnings and the promises that come directly from God. Remember that there will be people who come to deceive, and this will continue until Jesus reigns on the throne here on earth. Keep that in mind. Don't be surprised. Be alert. Be watchful. We have been warned in Scripture. All right, so part of that is verse 17. That's that first action that we need to do. Keep in mind, remember the words of God, believer. All right, if you were going by the message of point number one, point number two, let's look at the principle that he says next that we are to do. And what we are to do next, this is a weird one. This is very interesting how Jude lays this out, because although our section of Scripture that we're covering in this week's episode is verses 20 right down to the end, we actually got to skip past verse 20 to get the next action or command. And we got to jump to verse 21 and then go back to verse 20. The command that we are to do, that you and I as believers and this church, they are to keep themselves in the love of God. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Keep is the command in these verses. And so in these verses, because keep is the command, there are three participles that are connected to this command. These three participles are how the believer keeps themselves in the love of God. All right, we're going to look at these participles a little bit closer in a moment, but we want to look at what Scripture says about being or keeping ourselves in the love of God. All right, so we're going to go to the Gospel of John, and we're going to look at John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, verse 15, part of keeping ourselves, remember, the command, keep yourselves in the love of God. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. All right, so a part of keeping yourself in the love of God is being obedient to the word of God. All right, so that's one thing. Let's look at verse 21. Remember, we're looking at God's love and how we keep ourselves in God's love. Verse 21 of John chapter 14 says, he who has my commandment and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Are you picking up what the scriptures are laying down? Listen, if you're new to inductive Bible study and you've never studied the scriptures through observe, interpret, and apply, I'm going to tell you simply this. Go through the scriptures and look for the things that are repeated. If you see things that are repeated in scripture, God wants you to know them because he's repeating himself. It's very important. And here, two verses already, you've got a repeated phrase. And it all comes around keeping the commandments of the word of God. Let's look at the next one, which is John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Uh-oh. Not once, not twice, three times. Three times right there in John chapter 14, Jesus puts the connection of love and keeping his word. All right, well, that's just one chapter, Mark. I mean, come on. Three times in one chapter is not enough. What about John chapter 15, verses 9 and 10? Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Boom! Four times. I mean, I'm looking directly down at my Bible, and I haven't even turned the page. In my new inductive study Bible, I've got John chapter 14 and part of John chapter 15 side by side. And in those verses, on those two pages, four times, Jesus talks about love and keeping his commandments. You want to keep yourself in the love of God? The first thing you need to do is be obedient to his word. You need to remember the words that were spoken. You got to remember the promises of God, the warnings of God, the ways to salvation, the ways to eternal life. You've got to remember the scriptures. and you've got to be obedient to them. I mean, that's only point number one, point number two, point number 2A. Because we still haven't gotten to those participles yet. Those participles, remember, are a part of that. How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? So let me give you those three participles from Jude first. All right. And they come in verses 20 and 21. All right. So the first one is this. The first one, let's look at the whole verse. Okay. Verses 20 and 21 together. Let me read them to you. And maybe you're going to pick them up as I read them. He says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life." Did you catch them? Did you catch those three things that are going to come out of keeping yourself in the love of God? If not, let me read it to you one more time. And let's see if I'll put emphasis on those words, and then we'll come back and we'll look at all three of them individually. "But you, beloved, but you, church, build yourselves up in the most holy of faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Command, keep yourselves in the love of God, and wait anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life." Did you catch it now? Did you catch all three? Build, pray, wait. Let's look at all those individually here. All right, so how do we keep ourselves in the love of God? Keeping ourselves in the love of God is being obedient to His Word. Point number one was that we need to remember the words that were spoken beforehand, remember the scriptures. But I want to go back and I want to say that I don't think it's just to remember what we were taught. You know, go back and think about the my day of Sunday school, you know, where you learn the stories of Samson and Noah and creation. And of course, Jesus going to Calvary on Easter, the birth of Jesus at Christmas, all of these Noah, Jonah, all of these stories, all of these things. But in the greater perspective of Scripture, we need to not only remember those things and remember those truths, but we ought to be people as believers that continue to study the Word of God, that we continue to dive deep into the verses of Scripture, that we have such a hunger for the Word of God that we are building ourselves up. As Paul had talked about within one of his letters to the Corinthians, that we move from the milk of the Word into the solid food, that as we study the Scriptures, we're building on the foundation. Remember, the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Part of that foundation is how we are saved through Jesus and the gospel, the book of Romans. But then taking that and building on that foundation and making it so strong that when the waves of the world come, there's no erosion. There's no way that when the waves crash against the wall, that anything is going to fall away. Okay, so it's much more than just remembering the text. It's continuing to let God's word be a major part of your life. This is what I love about precept. And this is why I've committed my life and my ministry to Precept in Canada, is because my greatest desire is to see people like you who are listening, you are watching, you are studying, you are engaging in the Scriptures, all of these things, that you would be doing this in a way that would allow you to grow on the principles of the Word of God, and that you would have a better understanding and a better foundation in your doctrine, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men. All right, let's look at the next one. All right, so a part of that build, and Peter, he talked about growing in 2 Peter chapter 3. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. All right, let's look at this. All right, so I want to just leave off, and you can write this down if you are not driving. All right, knowledge rightly applied in Scripture produces obedience. Not only does it produce obedience, it produces a greater love in our Lord and Savior and our Father. Building ourselves in the Word of God is one of the ways in which we keep ourselves in the love of God. All right, let's look at the next one, which is pray in the Holy Spirit. So we're still in verse 20. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Let's be careful before we move on any further than this, because I don't want to draw you down a road to think that praying in the Holy Spirit is some type of charismatic movement where you might be taught that praying in the Holy Spirit has a connection to one of these charismatic gifts. For example, that truly praying in the Holy Spirit is when we end up speaking in tongues. That's not what Jude is saying in this text. What Jude is saying that praying in the Holy Spirit is that it is praying in line with God's will that is revealed within the Scriptures. You see, the difference between in this verse, in this context, is that the previous group of people, all right, the mockers, the ones who cause division, the ones who are going about their own desires and their own standards in verse 19, these worldly-minded people, Jude says, they are devoid of the Spirit. They don't have the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 20, you have that contrast that he says, but you, beloved, you do have the Spirit. Why? Because you are truly saved. You see, one who is truly saved has a great love for the Word of God. One who is truly saved is one who keeps the commandments of God. One who is truly saved is keeping themselves in the love of God. And so when you were saved, when you repented of your sin, when you laid your life down, and you died of your old self, and you were raised in the newness of life, you were given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the pledge of our inheritance that it is to come. The Holy Spirit works in our lives. The Holy Spirit mediates on our behalf when we pray. You see, what we've got here is that when we are praying in the Holy Spirit, we are praying in line with the will of God. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. All right, let me get there in my Bible here to Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You see, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray in the will of God. You see, we have to be people who pray in line with God's will and not our own. Let's go back to the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, listen to what the Scriptures tell us here. All right, and so John chapter 14, verses 4 to 7. All right, so he says here, And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said, we don't know the way that you are going. Do we know the way? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father with me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, yet you have not come to me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does the work. Believe in me and I in the Father, and the Father is in me, otherwise because of the works themselves. Truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will also, the greater works than these, he will do because I go to the Father. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Those who know him know the Father. We are people who pray in the Spirit. All right, let's look at another verse, which is 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. So 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15. And listen to what the text tells us here. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. We are to be having confidence when we go before him. When we ask according to his will, we will receive. You see, praying in the Holy Spirit, it's all about submission. It's about submitting ourselves and resting on the wisdom of God as we seek his will for our lives. And we trust that he has us in mind when he's accomplishing his greater will. We've just got to submit to the Lord. This is what it means to pray in the Holy Spirit, to give up our own desires, our own wills, our own wants, to pray the will of God. That's what you and I need to be doing in 2024. We need to build ourselves up in the Word of God. Keep studying the Word of God. We need to pray in the Holy Spirit. And that third participle is this, that we are to wait anxiously for the mercy of Jesus to eternal life. That is found in verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. As believers, we are to, as Paul says, set our mind on the things above. As Peter says, we are to be looking for and hastening the coming day in which everything will pass away and the new heavens and the new earth will come in 2 Peter chapter 3. We are to be people who have the kingdom of God and eternal life in view. Not looking to the side of what's happening with going on in this culture. Do you know what I think we can do by looking at what's happening in this culture around us? I don't think it's an opportunity for us to get discouraged. And I'm telling you, in absolute transparency, there are days when I do get discouraged about what I'm seeing happening in our country. But it only leads me to have a greater prayer life, knowing that God can turn it all around in a minute. That if it's God's will and God's desire, he can do it. But you see, I know. I remember the commands and the teachings and the promises of God. I'm so thankful that I was introduced to inductive Bible study, that the Word of God is implanted in my head, that when there are times of discouragement that come when I look at the culture, what do I remember? That Jesus is going to sit on the throne here on this earth, and we're going to rule with him, and that he's going to deal with sin, that he's going to wipe everything away, that he's gone ahead and prepared a place for me, a place in his Father's house. He loves me so much that he's gone and prepared a room for me, and that he's coming back to get me. I mean, these things are what we've got to hang on. We can't get so discouraged that there's nothing possibly that can be done in this world to turn it around. I pray for the government. I pray that it will change. I pray that people will come to salvation. But me personally, I'm not going to spend all my time breaking down the doors to try and change the government. I'm going to spend the time breaking down the barriers by the power of the Holy Spirit to change the hearts of those that are around me, that they would be people that would pursue after Jesus. The more people in pursuit of Jesus, the more power we have to make change in the world through the Lord. We've just got to go and be people who focus on the people that are around us. Yes, we're going to look at one more part in just a moment. But we got to look at who's right next to us. And before we can look at how to reach people that are right next to us, we got to look inward first. Because we need to be people who are remembering the teachings, that we are building ourselves up in the Word of God, that we are praying the will of God, and that we are people that have our eyes on eternity. That is a powerful picture of what a Christian would look like. Can you imagine for a moment what our country would look like if every single person, maybe you're listening and you're not from Canada, what about your country? Every single Christian remembering the truth of God's word, the promises, the warnings, being obedient to his word, studying the word of God, building themselves up in the word of God, not allowing themselves to be moved by the untruth of the world. People who pray the will of God and are praying in the Holy Spirit, and people who don't have their eyes on what's going on and what people might say and how they might offend people and all of these things, but they would have eternity in view. What would that do for our country? I'm telling you, the Lord would work. The Lord would work through each and every single one of us to bring transformation into this world like we have never seen before. The problem is, we have a lot of believers that aren't pursuing the Word of God. Oh, Mark, how can you say that? I travel across the country and I hear it all the time. I don't have time to study the Word of God. You know that precept stuff? That's a lot of work. I don't have time to do that. I always tell people, you know what? You don't need to justify with me what you have time to do and what you don't have time to do. That's between you and the Lord. Because within the 66 books of the scriptures, that's how God speaks to us. That's how we know how to deal with the things that are happening in the world today. It's God's word. All right, let's look at the next part. This is the last part, and this is one of my favorite sayings that comes from Jude. One of my favorite things that I use all the time. I've used in this podcast multiple times, but it is this. We need to be people that first, remember the words, build ourselves up, pray, wait, and finally, we need to populate heaven and plunder hell. Listen to what the text tells us here. We need to be people that reach out with the word of God. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy of faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Verse 22, have mercy on some who are doubting. Let's start right there. It says, have mercy on those who are doubting. Who could that be? Who could those people be that we need to have mercy on? In light of the context of the book of Jude, with these false teachers creeping in unnoticed, that turning licentiousness, the grace of God, into licentiousness, these people who are pursuing their own godly desires, these mockers who mock the word and promises of God. Could it be the ones that we are to have mercy on are the ones that have fallen into the deception? If that be the case, then we look at 2024 and we say, you know what, there are a lot of people in the church right now that have fallen into this deception. They've fallen into the belief and into the question, did God really say that? Just recently, I heard from a friend of mine that his spouse said, you know what, our theology is different. Well, why is your theology different? Is your theology different by deception? Yes. You see, we have to have mercy on people that have been deceived by these false teachers and these mockers. Let's be careful here that Paul did address these principles of having mercy on doubters in other scriptures within the letters that he wrote. Let me give you the first one, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. So in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, it says, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of the devotion of Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or receive a different spirit you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. There are others that are going to come, and they are going to deceive. Galatians, another example, Galatians chapter 3. And in Galatians chapter 3, listen to what Paul says. He says here, let me turn to it quickly instead of going off by heart. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified, this is the only thing I want you to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit work miracles among you, do it by works of the law or by hearing of faith? Who has bewitched you, you fools? Paul also talks about this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who has called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Verse 9 says, as we said before, so again I say now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. You see, he's warned about these people that would be deceived by people coming, these mockers and these false teachers. Scripture's warned us about it, and we're seeing that people, even today, fall into the doubt because, you know what, they sound good. They sound like they're a good teaching, and it doesn't sound like it's too far off. False teachers are people who exploit and they take advantage of those who are weak and doubting. Here's a couple verses that you can go look up this week. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. discusses how these people went after women who were weak. James chapter 1, verses 6 to 8 talked about how people go after those who are in doubt. And you see, we have a lot of people in 2024 who are being deceived because they live in doubt. They live in doubt because they don't know the Word of God. And then when someone comes along and says to them, "Did God really say that?" they don't know. That's why it all comes back to remember the words spoken beforehand. Build yourself up on the Word of God. All of these things are so vital. But you and I, here's what we need to do. We need not be judgmental of them, but we need to be merciful. They've been led down the wrong road. But I want to be clear. I want to be very clear. Even in 2024, showing mercy does not mean tolerance. Showing mercy does not mean commending them by saying, "Hey, you who are doubting, you who are weak, you who are deceived, I respect that we have different theologies." That is not what Jude is telling us. That is not contending earnestly for the faith. That is sitting back and allowing things to happen. But you see, showing mercy, it's about populating heaven and plundering hell. That as we study the Word of God, that as we remember the Word of God, what else do we remember? We remember that God judges sin and God will deal with sin. And that God looks at the hearts of man. That these people who are doubting, that it's quite possible that these people aren't even saved. And so we need to have mercy on them. We need to love them enough to present the gospel to them, to present the truth of God's word with humility. Not from a position of power and authority and pointing the finger. It is about leading these doubters, leading these people who are weak back to the Word of God and to the plumb line of truth. It is presenting the truth with humility from a position of love. And you know what? We also need to show patience. We've got to be patient with them. Because it's not like we're going to walk in there, those who are deceived and those who are weak, that we're going to be able to present the gospel one time and they're going to be like, "Oh yeah, you're right. Sorry about that." It doesn't work like that. We've got to be persistent in going back and being diligent in sharing the truth at all times before these people are permanently caught in the heresy that they're being taught. Show mercy to those who doubt. Go with the truth. Go with love and humility. Teach them the truth of the Word of God. Show them where it is the plumb line versus what they are learning. Look at verse 23. It says, not only are you to have mercy on some who are doubting, he says, save others, snatching them out of the fire. Well, let's pause for a moment because we could go on this podcast forever, but we're going to wrap this up real quickly. Are you ready? It is God is the one who saves, Romans chapter 1. We know that, but you and I, we have the privilege of being used for the kingdom of God by sharing the gospel truth with others. The idea of snatching somebody from the fire is to forcefully take them out. It is to bring them into salvation, populate heaven, and plunder hell. One scholar wrote it this way. He said the only way to rescue such people is to crush their false ideologies before it's too late. This can only be done by the power of God's word. It's not by what you and I can do, but it is by presenting the truth that we can snatch people out of the fire. He also tells us one more part of this populating heaven and plundering hell. He says, and on some people, have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Well, this is an important truth here. And as we bring this up in God's word, let's look a little closer. Here he says that we are to snatch some from the fire with fear. This principle here is that we need to be very careful. This is a warning that comes from the word of God that we've got to be careful of who we go to. Be careful in talking to certain people about this deception. What would that look like in 2024? This would look like us going and approaching those so deceived by their own deceptions that these people are most likely leading other people into deception. This could be leaders and false teachers themselves. That when he says go with fear, he means to go with caution. When he talks about here, he says, be careful, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. My son Ethan is working through a program here in Ontario, and it is a program for those who have special needs, and it's a work training program, and they do it for 1 year, and he's working in a retirement home. And for the first semester before Christmas, he was working in the laundry department. And so we went to visit him, and it was a great, great opportunity to see him do things that we never thought he would ever do at home. Of course, any teenager, right, does everything that they do outside of the house, they'll do no problem, but at home they won't. But he had a job in the laundry room, and when he wasn't sorting socks and folding clothes after they were clean, he would go over to the laundry chute. And when he went over to the laundry chute, they were taking these laundry bags and they were firing them down the chute from each of the floors of this retirement home. And before he could go into the laundry chute, he had to dress himself up in protection equipment, a mask, goggles, all kinds of different things to make sure that he was well protected, that he wouldn't get any of the soiled garments or dirty laundry on him. Why? Because some seniors have accidents, and so their laundry is very much polluted. There was also a plan for him to then make sure that he cleaned up and washed his hands, got rid of all the garments when he was done putting that in the wash. Essentially, what Jude is saying here when it comes to the garment, he's talking about the clothes or the underwear. Don't get polluted by the underwear. Summarize this in a better way is nobody likes touching somebody else's dirty underwear. And he says, take that kind of caution when you're dealing with these people. Be careful how you handle them. Don't get too close to the dirty underwear because you might get soiled yourself. Use wisdom and caution when you go to talk to these people. And that's the same understanding that we have today. If you're listening out there, in podcast land and you've hung in as long as you have today, be grounded in the Word of God before you ever go talk to these types of people. Because they'll be so smooth with their words. They'll question, did God really say that? And you've got to have a firm foundation. Or it's very quite possible they could pollute you as well. Be careful. Some people are given the gift to be able to go and interact with these people, and others, they don't have it. Be careful, be careful, be careful. Don't get tempted by their teaching. Isn't it amazing how Jude ends this letter? In light of the fact that you need to go with fear and be careful. Be careful, be careful, be careful. Verse 24. Now to him who was able to keep you from stumbling, to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, and dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forevermore. Amen. When you go out to populate heaven and plunder hell, he tells us that a part of our own personal sanctification, that we are to remember the words, that we are to build ourselves up, that we are to pray in the Holy Spirit, that we are to wait anxiously for the Lord to come, but we are to go out and reach out with the gospel to those who are doubting, to those who are gone or unsaved, and to those who lead others into doubt. He says, be careful. Don't let the temptations of these mockers and these false teachers to overtake you. But remember, beloved, remember this one thing. In light of everything from the Word of God, remember this. God is able. God is able to keep you from falling into temptation. God is able to make you stand in the presence of his glory and blameless with great joy. Friends, that's what we need to be doing when we contend earnestly for the faith. Got to remember the words. We've got to build ourselves up on the Word of God. We've got to pray in the Holy Spirit. We got to be people who wait anxiously for the Lord, and we got to be people who go out and populate heaven and plunder hell. And remember this, God is able. He's able to keep you from stumbling, and he is able to make you stand blameless before the Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come before you again, and we're so thankful for the book of Jude. We're thankful for all that we have learned in the scriptures. Lord, I pray that we would be people who hunger after the Word of God. I pray that we would not only be people who hunger for the Word of God, but pray your will. That we would be people who have such a great hope that we cannot wait to spend eternity with you. But Father, as we learn the Word, we study the Word, we remember the Word, that we pray, that we wait, that creates such an urgency in our lives to take the gospel out to those who need it most. Father, help us not to be judgmental of what we see happening in the world around us, and especially those who have been deceived by untruth. Help us to go with humility and love to present the truth of your word to them, and be diligent to keep doing so, especially when they want to reject everything we say. We are human, Lord, and we hate rejection. But we've got to remember that you are able. Thank you for these truths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this series of Unlocking the Truth with Precept Ministries Canada. Visit our website, preceptministries.ca, to find workshops and studies both in person and online that will further your journey in His Word and give you the tools to know God deeply and live differently.